Hi, and welcome to Selling This Skirt with Judy Hoberman. I'm Judy. For those of you that have been here before, welcome back. And if you're brand spanking new, welcome. We're super excited to have you here. Selling in a Skirt is all about connection, community, and creating amazing relationships. We empower professional women, and we encourage men who champion women to be part of the program. So, like every time we talk together, I always have amazing guests, and today is absolutely no different. So I am thrilled today to join you and join with you, Maureen Edwards. So let me tell you a little bit about Maureen. She's an award-winning branding, marketing, and business strategist, as well as a two-time award-winning inventor. You have to cover that. She's built six profitable companies from conception to commercialization and has worked with hundreds of entrepreneurs to start, turn around, or scale their companies. Her company, Eight Simple Steps, takes the heart out of converting customers for small business owners starting or struggling so they can have a sustainable business. I'm not going to tell you anymore because Maureen has so many things to say. So welcome, Maureen. I am thrilled to have you here.
Thank you so much, Judy. I am thrilled to be here, to be able to see you in person. We've been waiting for this moment. So
absolutely, way too long. So what I'd love for you to do is I'd love for you to tell everybody who you are, what you do, and what you love about what you do.
I guess I would say I'm an entrepreneur through and through. Mm-hmm. Okay. I hate to say serial entrepreneur, but entrepreneur enthusiast. Building those companies have definitely been my passion. And so what I've done is I've taken that passion and parlayed it into working with other business owners. I ran into tons and tons of problems with my first company, and they were avoidable. And so I want to make sure now people can avoid the same problems.
Oh, so you're giving them the playbook of actually how to do it without having to go through every mistake that you made.
Absolutely. In fact, there are very simple roadmaps out there, and you can eliminate those mistakes very, very easily. You just need to know how.
Well, your motto is you don't need to know everything in business, only what works.
Exactly.
So what does that mean? What does that look like?
I think after working with so many entrepreneurs and building my own companies, there was one thing that I discovered that was consistent. Those companies that were doing a lot of marketing but still weren't driving any revenue, there was one glaring problem that just came coming up.
What's that?
They just didn't identify their target audience and really niche it down and know them better than they know themselves. They weren't able to pull out how they change people's lives. Like, what are the outcomes that you do? It was always features and not benefits. And they don't really know how they compare to a competitor.
Okay, so I just want to say something that I hear all the time. People always say, why can't I just help everyone? Because what I have is good for everyone. Mm-hmm. So why can't we do that?
When you try and help everybody, you really help nobody. Okay, I always say we're trying to serve the world. We've got the best product, the most amazing service. We could change everybody's life. But at the end of the day, you're not going to change anybody's life unless you really get a clear, concise, consistent, compelling, and customer-centric message as if you're talking just to a specific group.
Yeah, I love when I'm somewhere and the speaker is talking and all I keep thinking is, they're talking just to me.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel special.
It does.
So what does that do for a business? If you're talking just to that person, are they more likely to raise their hand and say, pick me? Are they more likely to follow you, bring friends?
I think that your message is going to be so clear. And when you're clear, they get clear so that you can really talk to them in a way that's relevant to them, that resonates with them, because you're really tapping in to something that's important to them. And that's what you were talking about. Like, you're much more prone to probably respond to somebody who really knows you, who feels like they're authentic with you, who really gets you.
Right.
You're like, you know what? I want to pick them over somebody else who just, I'm one of the generic ones out there.
Right. You want to feel like you belong somewhere.
Somewhere and somewhere special.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, today's topic is about women in business get better with age. And I'm going to just put us into that group together. I know we're not, but I'm going to put us in together. So let me ask you a question. In your opinion, what are the unique strengths and the qualities that women tend to have when they're going to be successful in business, how do they gain that experience in their age in the business world? Why is that important for women in our grouping to be able to share their experiences?
Well, you know, I think it's really interesting that the number one group who are building businesses faster mm-hmm. than anybody else are women over 50.
Oh.
And minority women.
Oh.
And so, yeah, so when we look at that, we say, why is it that women are saying, you know what, I'm done with corporate. I'm done maybe with the side hustle. I'm going to go all in. I'm done staying home with my kids. Maybe they're grown and gone. Right? There are different reasons why people go into business. But I think it's unbelievable that women over 50 are saying, I'm taking control of my destiny.
Which has never happened. If you think about the last few decades, that hasn't happened before. Mm-hmm. Women were either afraid
yeah.
or they were more afraid of failing than they were at the opportunity of succeeding.
Right.
They didn't do it. So what changed?
I think as women climbed the corporate ladder,
mm-hmm.
I think they got more confidence muscles, all right? I think they started believing in themselves more and more. And so I think that opening up the opportunities in business have allowed women to parlay those skills. And instead of making everybody else rich, they're going, you know what? I'm gonna take all of this talent and I'm gonna make somebody else called me rich.
So where does social media come into play with that? Because a lot of times when you think about social media, all the influencers
right.
are generally a lot younger mm-hmm. and they're the ones that are doing the makeup, they're the ones that are cooking, they're the ones that, you know, they're doing everything. There's very few, and some of them I do actually follow, there are very few that are the influencers because there are more young people on social media,
right.
it seems, and I don't know if that's true or not. So where does social media play a moment in time for us?
I think it's playing right now. Mm-hmm. We just need to search for it. It's obviously a little bit warped as far as how many of the young people versus how many of the older people. But isn't it funny that when you see a more mature woman out there, you're much more, oh, right?
It's different.
Right, because all those influencers all blur together, mm-hmm. right? And all of a sudden, you're desensitized to them. But then when you see, you know, a very attractive, confident woman who's talking about a product or talking about a service or just talking about life, it does stop you in your tracks. And it stops you to the audience you are probably trying to attract, which is you and me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what they're trying to do?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Social media definitely is playing a role in it, even though it looks like the majority are not our people.
But also keep in mind that when we look at social media, who are the people really on it? I find that people who are on Facebook, they may be our age, but they're sending pictures of their grandkids
right.
out to their friends.
Right.
All right. They're not really being moved by brands and by influencers. They're using it for different reasons. So as Gen X or baby boomers, social media for us is probably to get a little bit of news, find out what's happening with friends, look at some branding. But when, you know, when we really need something, we really just go Google it, right? Right?
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to Instagram to say, okay, you know, I'm going to go ahead and find a plumber, right? So I think social media has to be used in the right way.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about women in business, women that are more experienced, mm-hmm. women that may be coming back into the workforce. We know that there are lots of examples of ageism.
Oh.
I mean, there are, and it can happen in some industries more than others, and some seem to, you know, have a different angle about how they're going to talk about ageism. But I know that many women are reworking their resumes so it doesn't show their age, and it doesn't matter mm-hmm. how they do it. You can still kind of sort of figure out with all the experience and all the age, you know, all the years that they work. But how can an organization, an industry, better support these women that are and I don't like to use the word trying, but I'm going to use the word trying to get back into feeling that they are relevant, because, you know, a lot of times women stay home for decades with their kids and they don't feel relevant anymore. So how can companies harness the potential of the more experienced woman in the workplace? Because many times that's exactly who they need.
Exactly. And I think you're right. The ageism is just insidious out there. And it's now starting as young as 40.
I know. That's crazy.
I was like, aren't you at the top of your career in your 40s? But that, it just gets younger and younger.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, we've got a couple things going on in that question. One of the reasons why I think I work with so many women over 50 is because they have been displaced and don't know how or can't get back into the workforce. So they still have to make a living. They still, you know, want to make an impact.
Right.
So they have to reinvent themselves into entrepreneurship. Now, if somebody has been away from the workforce for a while, they are going to have to redefine what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe they're going to have to do a really convincing sell that they are on top of what has been going on in the tech world, social media,
AI,
to really demonstrate that they got it together. Because mm-hmm. if they don't, and the assumption automatically with corporations is, you know, you've been out for 5 years even.
And 5 years is like
an eternity.
I know.
And you couldn't possibly know what's going on because things move so quick, especially in marketing and technology. And, you know, we look at all these platforms, you know, lots of automation. You have to make yourself look like you have kept up with it and that you are a true value to them because of the wisdom that you have, the work ethic that you have, and the knowledge that you have. So they do have some convincing to do, but it is possible.
So what can the companies do? Because the companies are not necessarily using messaging for that age group.
No.
So what could a company do?
I think first they need to embrace that workforce, mm-hmm. okay? They need to say, take ageism, even if it's very subtle, off the table.
Right.
Right? I also think the women who are already working for them, I think they need to tap into them as being mentors to other women,
right.
or being able to share their network outside of the corporation and being, you know, being a partner. And so they can introduce, you know, people. And I think the women also need to go to bat,
mm-hmm.
you know, these corporate, yeah, they need to go to bat for each other and say, you know what, I've got somebody who is 50 years old and she's amazing. I need to talk to her about that job down the hall. You know, we need them to support other women.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to go back to the woman again. So, you know, when you're in your 20s or 30s, you might be overlooked for a promotion because you're too young.
Right.
And then you have the women that are coming back, or they're still there, but they might be too old. There's all different kinds of challenges that you might not be the viable candidate for this particular position or whatever. So other times, women have been entrepreneurs and they want to come back to a more stable, what they think is stable mm-hmm. environment, where there's a paycheck every week or every other week and they don't have to hunt and peck and all this kind of nonsense. But whatever the case is, what advice, I mean, I want you to talk to these women right now. What advice would you give them that are facing these challenges? Either they're not being promoted because of their age, or they're an entrepreneur and they don't know what the heck to do with it, or they want to go back into corporate. What would you tell them? Like, how do you break down some of the challenges that these women are experiencing, especially since you said that most of your clients are over 50 and they're entrepreneurs?
Right.
So what do you say to them?
I'm going to say to you right now that please align yourself with somebody who knows more than you do. They know more in entrepreneurship, they know more with leadership, they know more about climbing that corporate ladder and the challenges that are involved, and they can help you navigate all of this. And I think that's the most overlooked, is seeking help from other people who really can make a difference. For whatever reason you're doing, you know, you're not doing it, I'm gonna say, please, find somebody to align yourself with, to partner with, and help them help, you know, have them help you get to the next level.
Great advice. And especially since the one thing that women have the most trouble with is asking for help.
Yeah.
And we really have to encourage them to do this. You know, anybody that knows me knows that I love the Beatles. I do. And I really believe that the Beatles have a song that can be the mantra for women, and it's called Help. You know, when you were younger, you didn't need anything. Now you do. So can you help me? And sometimes it's the word help itself that people don't want to ask for. So I just did a mastermind with a group, and we decided we weren't going to use the word help. We were going to say, show me. Like,
that's good.
Maureen, you are the best at marketing and branding. Can you show me how to do X, Y, and Z? Is a lot different than saying, can you help me?
Yeah.
So how do you ask for help? And do you ask for help?
Well, the first thing I do is get rid of that word help in any of the marketing materials. I help you achieve this, this, and this. I will help you do this, this, and this. You're right. People don't want to hear the word help.
It's like the word budget.
Right. Because it makes them feel like I must be weak. There must be a problem with me. So I love the fact that you're turning that around. You know, and what I have tried to do is reach out to women myself, knowing that they're having trouble, they're struggling. I can identify when somebody, it's not happening. And so you can very authentically reach out to somebody without overstepping your bounds or making them feel like a failure or, you know, I don't need this or defensive about it. So I think it goes both ways. I think we have to take the initiative to reach out to them when we see somebody struggling, but we also need to make them feel comfortable that by aligning with us or by aligning with the right person, we really care enough to take you to the next level.
And that also brings up having to be aware and to be self-aware.
Right.
So I know that a lot of times women will say, I'm just a housewife. Okay, I'm just a housewife. The word just is like the word try, it's like the word budget. You have to get rid of it. It's a terrible word, just. But when they say I'm just a housewife or I'm a stay-at-home mom, I don't have any skills, nobody's gonna want me, and I wanna whip out that whiteboard and start to list every single thing that they do in their house. CEO, the chief people officer, everything that they do. So how do you reframe that so women are not struggling as much to walk through the door or to call you and say, I'm starting a company, how do I start it? How do we reframe all of that? And I don't know if maybe that's a book to write or something, because that's what I hear so often.
So I have people who come to me to redo their resume. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was one of the companies I had created many, many years ago. And it's still a passion of mine because this is really marketing and branding at
Absolutely.
Its best. And so I've had women who have raised children who have literally been out of the workforce for 20 years. And what do I say? Stay-at-home mom, housewife, just like you, those common terms. I said, no, you're a home maintenance engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets somebody's attention. They're not going to dismiss you. So we need to use words that really elevate what you bring to the table and really best describe what you do. And the conversations that I've had when they look at that title even, they're like, oh my gosh, look at all this stuff I've done. But then they have to parlay that into outcomes and how they can get those same outcomes for a corporation. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very, very important that not only do they put it on paper, but they're comfortable verbalizing. I was a home maintenance engineer.
Words matter. Words
they
matter.
They definitely matter.
Okay, so you know that one of my favorite topics is talking about the lonely leader. These are powerful women that either don't know who to trust, don't know who to talk to, don't know who has an agenda, who doesn't have an agenda. They're at certain levels of their career and they just don't know what to do. And the two of us have been in that position before. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a most comfortable position. So do you think that being a lonely leader in this environment where we are today is more common because women are not sure what's going to happen? You know, you think about AI for a minute. Is it they're going to replace me with AI, or is there somebody younger coming in that's going to replace me? So what do we talk about, you know, how do we talk about the lonely leader to these powerful women? Because a lot of them are trailblazers. A lot of them are the first of, and we want to make sure that they feel supported and they know that they have something that is relevant and impactful and valuable, no matter what age they are. Because I know getting to certain ages, you start to feel like, well, maybe I don't have anything more to share. Maybe right. I'm done. And, you know, so how do you help them feel supported or heard or just relevant?
So I think, you know, something that corporations can do is provide leadership coaches mm-hmm. for women. And the reason I say this, and it's a great opportunity too for them to really demonstrate that they're supporting you, and, you know, culturally we want to make you a better leader, because I find that not everybody is a natural leader. Not everybody has the confidence to motivate people, or maybe even should not be in that position. But I have found when you bring somebody in on the outside who can have a completely different perspective on the whole situation, internal stuff that's going on, I think somebody on the outside, when they bring them in, can see things and be able to talk you through things that a friend or a coworker or a spouse or somebody just can't do. And so I truly believe that corporations or women on their own should seek out other women who are leaders in their field, who have been trailblazers, who have overcome, you know, the obstacles, align themselves with those people and help you get to that next level, and being able to kind of overcome maybe the negativity or overcome, you know, oh, I don't think I'm going to get this job, that feeling that they have inside of them that they're not good enough. Mm. It's somebody having somebody on the outside to let them know they are so much more than good enough.
Okay, so what happens when an organization feels that it's better served by an internal person? Number one, they know the people, and number two, they're already being paid.
It's a good point. It is a good point. So, you know, an example is my daughter is in a male-dominated industry, okay? But she met somebody at a convention that she really connected with, another woman who has been in the same industry for 15, 20 years. You want to talk about a trailblazer. Mm-hmm. And she really, you know, she really felt comfortable with her. And she said, you know, will you mentor me? Mm-hmm. Okay. It took my daughter to ask, will you mentor me? And then she went back to her boss and said, you know what? I need a mentor, and I want Mari to be the person I can speak with, because she knows the industry. She knows what I'm going through. So you may not have to pay her, you know? She's just willing to do it one woman to the next. Now, if you've got a whole team internally and you're like, oh, HR can handle this, or, you know, we'll pull some mentor here and here, I think that's time for people to be a little bit more progressive and saying, you know what, maybe we should bring in workshops. Maybe we really should be taught by people on the outside mm-hmm. of how do we keep these women? How do we support these women? How do we make them relevant in the organization? All right, I think if you have a good leadership team, they sit around the boardroom here and talk about how do they keep their best talent. And it may not be from HR doing it.
Yes.
I think you've learned that, right? You know that firsthand.
Yes. I think one of the challenges that we have is that you're not comfortable enough to share what the challenge really is.
Right.
And especially when you get to a certain age and you have all this experience, and perhaps the person that is your kryptonite is the person that they brought in to help you.
Right.
And that's a really difficult position to be in.
Right.
And, you know, so I think there's a lot of things that organizations can do and even consider working with someone on the outside, one-on-one, just to have some conversations with them and see what they bring to the table.
Right.
Because a lot of times somebody on the outside may not be the right person either, you know, but it's all about communication. And, you know, and I think that that's where we all struggle with, because our communication is not.
And I think it's all about choices.
Yeah.
You know, somebody internally may not click with each other.
Right.
And then you're nowhere.
Yes.
Right. So I think you should have an open mind of looking at people externally and internally and see what's clicking, you know, with people. Who do they relate to? And that's it. That's what it's about. But I really wish leadership would be more forward thinking with it. Do you know what I mean? Where they're saying we want to keep the women here before they leave or jump ship, or we want to keep them involved and productive and, you know, part of this organization. What do we do to do that? And I think that they dismiss it.
Yes,
I think they take them for granted. Like, oh, she's been here 10 years. She's going to just do the next 10. But it's amazing how much more you can get out of anybody when you partner with them and say, I care enough about your personal and professional development. I'm going to bring somebody in to take you to the next level. They're like, really?
You've invested in them.
You're investing in me.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And sometimes that's all it takes to watch the retention go up as opposed to running out the door.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just that little bit of caring, you know, empathy that says, I really do want you to stay here. I really do think you're important, and I'm going to show you.
Yep.
You know, it's a choice.
You know, I have a lot of women who work in corporate who are doing side hustles.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't call it a side hustle. I call it an exit hustle.
Yeah.
Meaning that they are planning their exit behind the scenes, working off the corporate's dollar, right? So that they put all the pieces in place on their corporation's dime, because they feel like that corporation is not supporting them. That corporation is not looking out for them. And they literally are planning on leaving that company. What made them get to that point?
Right, right. I mean, you know, people talk about culture all the time, and it's definitely the culture, but sometimes you can't change the culture. You can't.
Mm-mm.
But there's a book, and I can't remember who wrote the book, but it's not about the culture, it's about the climate. So if you can't change the culture, you can at least change the climate where you are.
Right.
And maybe it's, you know, just yourself, maybe it's a few people, and you work so this becomes the most important part of the team. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. But there's something you just said, which is very interesting to me. As an entrepreneur, we're always told to be the CEO of our company,
mm-hmm.
because the CEO's job is really to bring in revenue. So it's not, you know, it's not always doing all the grunt work, but you need to bring in revenue. What if, and this is a crazy idea that I just had, what if we taught corporate employees what it feels like to be an entrepreneur and have them build their own company, basically,
mm-hmm.
within what they're doing, not the side hustle or anything, and see how much work it takes, but how much support you need so that maybe there's collaboration that comes from that. I don't know. I was just trying to think of something.
It's a very interesting point. And, you know, I love the companies that in the job description, they say, we're looking for an entrepreneurial spirit.
Spirit. Not
What does that really mean?
It means that you don't need to have anybody on top of you and that you can do it yourself and everything else, that you really don't need any help from anybody. Here it is. You do it.
Okay.
That's the entrepreneurial spirit.
That's the spirit, but they don't want any entrepreneurs.
No.
Companies hate hiring entrepreneurs.
Well, they have no experience, according to their resume.
Right.
There's no experience.
They've done nothing by, you know, starting and building a company, right? But I do think that maybe empowering their workforce to understand what it takes to build something within the organization and to watch that come to fruition, and this is what entrepreneurship is, and this is what we are doing behind the scenes. The only difference is you're not vested the way you're vested on your own, and it's yours.
Right, and that's what I was trying to think. Could you possibly create this feeling that it was your own business, but you're still working for corporate, you're still doing what they need, but it's the entrepreneurial spirit? I don't know.
It
could be just bizarre, but I was just thinking,
hey,
like
that's, you know, we're thinking out of the box. This is, you know, this is why people want to talk to us. When I say, you know, wisdom comes as you get older.
Yeah.
These are the things that women who are older, who are more mature, I don't even like the word older anymore, who are more mature, are more experienced. And I think other women want to seek out people their own age, women their own age. I find that in entrepreneurship, it is definitely to my advantage, being my age, which correlates with all the entrepreneurs out there who are building businesses and they're over 50.
Yeah.
And who do they want? They don't want a 25-year-old helping them.
Right.
They just don't.
Right.
They can't relate.
Right.
So.
Well, when I was thinking about our conversation today, I was thinking about like our favorite squatter. And the squatter is the imposter syndrome. So no matter who you are, how old you are, whatever you want to say about it, we all have that internal chatter saying we're not enough, we're not this, we're not big enough, strong enough, well-known enough, or whatever the enough is. In all of your years of being in business, with all the companies you've created, with all of the different things that you've done, how, I know you have to at least heard in your mind, you're not enough or whatever it is. How did you get over that hump in order for you to get to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing that brought you to where you are today? And do you still have any of that internal chatter?
Well, first up, you have to jump out of your comfort zone. And I remember somebody saying to me when I told them, I hate video, I hate this, I hate TV, I don't like my hair,
and
I don't like the way I sound, and look at me, I'm, you know, big time now. and she said to me, you know, that's your own vanity, and you have people who need you out there. People you need to serve and make a difference with. Are you going to let your own internal insecurity dictate helping them? And it was the best advice I ever got. And I just took the plunge. And once you take the plunge, it's so amazing how it gets easier and easier. But the one little secret about me is, if you notice, all of my companies, including the one I have now, does not say CEO. Mm-hmm. I have never called myself a CEO.
Because
I have always called myself a founder of the company, or vice president of marketing and sales. Imagine the person who created this company is giving themselves that title. And I do believe that's a little bit of imposter syndrome in there, to give myself that big of a title, even after building all these companies and being an authority in a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But
interesting.
I will never call myself a CEO. So there you go. There's a secret about me you just learned.
That is a secret about you that I just learned. So do you still feel it? You know, when you're doing a training or you're speaking somewhere, do you ever still have that internal chatter that says, yeah, I don't know who's going to want to listen to me?
Actually, I don't. I have overcome that, because what I'm saying is, if I just impact one of you out there,
right,
I've done a great job. The rest, if you don't relate to me, you don't like me, that's okay. One was enough for me. So I kind of maybe changed my perspective on what influencing is all about, what mm-hmm. making an impact is all about.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the masses.
No. And you know what my mission has always been, is to help one woman a day.
One woman a day.
And people always say, well, what about 1,000 women? No, one woman exponentially is a lot of women, but let me help this one woman. And people always raise their hand and say, can I be your woman today? And that is
right.
Very humbling.
Yeah.
Very humbling.
Yeah. Because yeah. You made a difference.
Yeah.
You made an impact on them. And when you do that, people gravitate
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
They really do. And it's also kind of like, well, I'm only picking one today. It's kind of FOMO. Oh my gosh, you're missing out. Judy isn't going to take me today.
Yeah, just this one person and you're it. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So what are you most excited about for the rest of this year? Because this year is like flying by. We're almost, you know, like
oh my
two
gosh.
Months are almost over already. What are you the most excited about?
I think I'm most excited about the fact that I have two separate companies. I have an agency that is Do It For You, in which I work as a fractional CMO, which I love because it's just bits and pieces of several companies and it keeps things going. So I'm excited about where that growth is coming from, but I'm really excited about how my business Eight Simple Steps is going, in the sense that more and more entrepreneurs are getting the message out there that they can't do this alone. And if they are struggling, it's okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. Ask for help from the right people. Right. All right.
Someone that's been there, done that.
Right. I want to be your right person. And if I'm not, I will let you know that. But I'm most excited at the momentum I'm seeing and the people calling me and the people responding to the messages on social media or in email. I'm seeing a momentum I have not seen so mm-hmm. much. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited about that.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay, so final question.
Oh.
Where can our listeners find you? Because there are so many people that need what you're doing. And yes. So what's the easiest way for people to find you and connect with you?
So if you're an entrepreneur who's just starting, or you've been doing a lot of marketing and you're not moving the needle, those are the two people I can serve best. They can get a hold of me on my website, which is 8simplesteps.net. You can also link in with me. You can go to 8simplesteps.net, which is my LinkedIn page, but you can also personally link in with me and send me a direct message. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, but those are really the best places awesome. To get to me.
Well, I so appreciate you for being here, for spending time, for being brilliant as always, and for being here in person, which is even better. Holy cow.
I know.
This has been amazing. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Absolutely. And I want to thank all of you for being with us today on Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman. And until next time, we'll see you then.